Are you a homeschooler and a military spouse? Homeschooling can be tough and military life challenging. The Military Homeschool Podcast is the perfect tool to add to your arsenal as you navigate life as a military homeschooler. Join Crystal and her guests each week as they bring relevant information to equip you, stories to encourage you, and content to inspire you. You don't have to go it alone. Tune in to the Military Homeschool Podcast and be energized in your military homeschooling journey. You're listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. Welcome back to the History for Christian Teens podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Kevin Niehoff. Thanks for tuning in.
In this episode, we'll take a peek into the life and reign of a man who was both a wise and a foolish king, then talk about what we can learn from his example to apply to our own lives as believers. But first, Kevin has a short story from history to share with us, which explains the importance of using wisdom wisely. God has a plan for our lives, but the enemy of our souls also has his own devious plan.
It was a stifling hot morning that August in Hiroshima, Japan. In 1945, citizens feared a pending airstrike from the Allied forces of World War II. Many people were evacuating belongings from their homes and making preparations for their safety. Hiroshima was one of the largest cities in Japan that had not yet been hit, and most people expected a raid any day. When the air raid sirens sounded on the morning of August 6, 1945, the city thought the attack had begun. But a few minutes later, the all-clear was sounded. Japanese radar operators, seeing only three American planes, decided that this was not a serious attack. A few moments later, the first atomic bomb used in war was dropped on the city, killing tens of thousands of people instantly. They believed that they were safe from attack, not realizing the nature of what was about to happen. Often Christians make the fatal mistake of underestimating our enemy. He is vicious and determined, and if we let down our guard, he will strike. The Bible warns us not to forsake wisdom. It is not enough to merely know and follow the principles our living God lays out for us in his word. We must continue to live them out to be kept safe.
Now that we understand the importance of applying the wisdom God gives us, let's explore the life of a man who was both a wise and a foolish king, proclaimed, in fact, to be the wisest man who ever lived. But despite his vast God-given wisdom, he lacked discernment and disobeyed the Lord. Who was this man? Solomon, his name meaning peace, the third and final king of Israel, son of David and Bathsheba. King David appointed Solomon as his successor just before his death, even though he was not the eldest of his sons, and reigned for 40 years between 971 to 931 BC. Solomon inherited a kingdom that was well-managed and stable, with none of the countries that surrounded them strong enough to cause concern. His long reign was marked by peace in the region, with only a few occasions of unrest, and he expanded his control from Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River. During his lifetime, Solomon wrote the Book of Proverbs, the Song of Songs, and the Book of Ecclesiastes.
Though he was just a youth, Solomon was still able to realize the enormous task lay ahead of him as a new king. So much so that, as we read in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 14, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown me great kindness to your servant, my father David. Because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart, you have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day."
"Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?
The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you whatever you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life.
One of the most well-known examples of King Solomon's great wisdom was the time when two women approached him with a baby they both claimed to be theirs. During the night, one woman's child had passed away, so she claimed the living child as her own, while the other woman was the actual mother, but Solomon had to figure out who was who. Solomon thought for a moment about the dilemma, and then came his verdict. Cut the baby in half and split the baby between the two women. Horrified that her baby would be cut into pieces, the real mother cried, "No!" then offered to give her infant to the other woman so that her baby could live. Obviously, only the real mother would make such a sacrifice in return for the life of her child. So King Solomon reunited the baby with his true mother, thereby showing great wisdom and justice.
Another task that Solomon is accredited for accomplishing is finishing the construction of the temple of worship to God that his father, King David, had begun before his death. The foundation for the temple was laid in the year 695 BC, 480 years after the Hebrews escaped captivity in Egypt. The article, The Jewish Temples, The First Temple, Solomon's Temple, published on jewishvirtuallibrary.org, describes it. The crowning achievement of King Solomon's reign was the erection of the magnificent temple in the capital city of ancient Israel, Jerusalem. His father, King David, had wanted to build a great temple a generation earlier as a permanent resting place for the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments. A divine edict, however, had forbidden him from doing so. "You will not build a house for my name," God said to David, "for you are a man of battles and have shed blood." 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3.
Continuing to read, the Bible's description of Solomon's temple, also called the First Temple, suggests that the inside ceiling was 180 feet long, 90 feet wide, and 50 feet high. The highest point on the temple that King Solomon built was actually 120 cubits tall, about 20 stories or 207 feet. Solomon spared no expense for the building's creation. He ordered vast quantities of cedar wood from King Hiram of Tyre, had huge blocks of the choicest stone quarried, and commanded that the building's foundation be laid with hewn stone. To complete the massive project, he imposed forced labor on all his subjects, drafting the people for work shifts that sometimes lasted a month at a time. Some 3,300 officials were appointed to oversee the temple's erection. Solomon assumed such heavy debts in building the temple that he is forced to pay off King Hiram by handing over 20 towns in Galilee, end quote.
This great temple was destroyed by the Babylonian forces during King Nebuchadnezzar's reign in 587 BC. To this day, the traditional Jews pray three times a day for the temple's restoration. However, as great and wise as Solomon was, he had a major flaw. During the course of his reign, Solomon married many foreign wives for personal gratification and likely as a political move to secure his power and ensure stability in the region. We read about this in 1 Kings 11:1 through 6. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter: Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done.
Of Solomon, we read this in Nehemiah 13, verse 46. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. The issue with Solomon's indiscretion is explained in this passage from the NASB Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible Notes. Quote, because intimacy with God is his highest priority for our lives, the Lord forbids intermarriage of believers with unbelievers. Why would we ever want to do anything that threatens to damage a close relationship with him? End quote.
As we've discovered today, King Solomon was both a wise and a foolish king. But despite his vast, God-given wisdom, he foolishly disobeyed the Lord. He failed to guard his heart, and as our earlier account of surprise attack on the unsuspecting people of Hiroshima illustrates, Solomon underestimated the enemy of his soul who seeks the downfall of all humankind, and also sought his as well. Even the wisest man had weaknesses, as we all do. And it was at those unguarded points that the devil was able to trip him up and entice him into sin.
So, what can we learn from Solomon's example that we can apply to our own lives as Christ followers? Today's life application lesson is, bad company corrupts good morals. As we read in 10 Minutes to Knowing the Men and Women of the Bible by Jim George, Solomon married foreign wives for his own gratification and to forge alliances with surrounding countries. Before long, Solomon was making concessions and compromising his own faith. Ask God to give you wisdom to seek only those relationships that will keep you close to your Lord. End quote.
Reading from God's Word, 2 Corinthians 6:14 instructs, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And then Proverbs 12:26 tells us that the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm.
Solomon had it all. He asked the Lord for wisdom, and God gave him that and honor and wealth besides. But then King Solomon chose to surround himself with women who would lead him into sin and away from his relationship with the one true God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 warns, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Take care in who you choose to surround yourself with, whether they be friends, girlfriend, boyfriend, or spouse. Remember this, as author and preacher Thomas Brooks once said, let those be thy choicest companions who have made Christ their chief companion.
That's our show for today. Thanks for listening in. Join us again next week for the story of a man who disappeared in a whirlwind. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to like and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a single episode.
Links to everything we've mentioned today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. Have a blessed week. Thanks for listening in today. If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.